Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Chaf Dalet. Phew, these are not easy sugyot. Okay, so let me just reorient us into what has happened, because there's been a lot of pop-downs over here, and we sort of forgot where we were coming from. So basically, our perek began with this whole discussion of what things are considered to be a chibur, what things are considered to be yad, Shomer, and our mitztaref in the event that they're normally things that are eaten together, or we then got into the question of what holds things together. Now, how did we get into that question? So it's important that we remember that, because today we're going to go back and have a completely different approach to what we said yesterday. The way this whole business started was yesterday, towards the end of the daf, we learned a halacha that a tough skin, if you're cutting through, let's say a talit, we started, right? And we said over there that if you cut through a talit, if you leave enough there, that it's going to be a good scarf for you, a maforet that covers your head, covers your neck. So then that would be enough if you were not Meshayer Bakadei maforet. Once you were Meshayer Bakadei maforet, then already it's still considered to be a chibu. Reish Lakish said that the only time that we need to have that kind of size left to it be considered a chibur is a talis, which is weak cloth. But if you've got a leather jacket, then a leather jacket is considered to be strong. It's chalim, and since it's chalim, it's not going to be bottom. That started us on this entire search for what the din would be about even a tanur. So we said tanurim are put together with various cheres, pieces of cheres that could be even separate, but they're all covered by a plaster, a thick plaster insulation, which connects it to the ground and which connects them to each other. So that even if it would be broken, according to the Chachomim, it would still be considered to be whole because of what holds it together. Whereas Rabbi Meir says that no, it's not considered to be whole once you're memayated, and so on. That was the way in which we ended up talking about these tanurim and what the shear of the tanurim are. Later today, we're going to see that there's a completely different approach to what Reish Lakish was referring to when he spoke about those leather jackets. And that's why we need to remember how we got here. So the last thing that we learned yesterday was this din about the difference between a tanur that has been tame from before and a tanur that you want to make sure never becomes tame. And there we spoke about the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and that it would be enough to be memayato. The last words we learned were memayato mi bifnim mi arba tvachim. So as long as it's less than four tvachim, it is considered to be a actual tanur, even though it's broken. Now, since there's such a wonderful limud of how much a person has to be makpid to come to the daf yomi, and it doesn't matter if just the day before he just had a little boy and he's waiting to make a bris milah, and he's very busy, and he's taking care of a daughter, and nonetheless, he makes certain to be there at daf yomi. So that's something that's worthwhile pointing out. Mazel tov, Ori. Okay. Baruch Hashem. We're all very happy to have you here. All right. So we start today by going over the sugya that we said yesterday, which was, as long as you're memayedet mi arba tvach. That's what we said. So let's start over there. Omar Mar, we're talking about that you have to be memayed mi arba tvach. Now, today's Gemara is very nogea ori, so I don't know that you want to allow her to miss this. This is important. So, the Gemara asks, from what appears to be a stira, and that was that we talked about, Omar Mar, we talked about choko lishlosha, right? You got to split it into three separate pieces. Okay, if you would only split it into two pieces, what would be wrong? It would be one apart was certainly going to still retain the tumah. Why? Because it was the rov. So in order to make sure that you don't have rov and that you're being mevatelet from the tumah, you have to split it into three parts. That's what we said. And as long as one part would be rov, that part would be tumah. Problem is that we had the Mishnah in Kalim that seems to say that that's not true. Raminu, tanur techilato arba'a. So it has to be at least four tvachim. We're assuming that means four tvachim high, and only then is it going to be mekabel tumah. And if it's broken, then even for the broken pieces to retain tumah, it's also the same shear. Shear of has to be a minimum of four tvachim high. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Okay, so then that means that if it's not less than four tvachim high, then, and we're not talking about rov, we're just saying, if it's less than four tvachim, it's not considered to be a kli any longer, at least a kli that's right to be an oven. So says Rebbe Meir. And the Chachamim say, when is that true? That's only if you have a large, big oven. But if it's a small oven, any little bit is considered to be a shear of a tanur, as long as both the cases are mishit gamer melachto. As long as it's finished, meaning that it's already been used once and therefore the material has been strengthened and is now able to bake things in it, and that would be at any size, it doesn't matter, and the remnants of a broken one would be whatever the shear is, berubo, of that small one, we say. So a broken oven is considered to be an oven as long as mostly it's there. And before we get to the what appears to be a steer in the Mishnayos, is when you say that a small oven can be any size, how in the world can an oven be any size? Can't mean literally any size. What do you mean, a dollhouse? Armei Divrei Rabbi Yanai, no, it means it has to be a tefach. But why does it have to be a tefach? Because the kind of tanurim that are made for ori are always a minimum shear of a tefach. You could get on Amazon, check out Fisher-Price tanurim, and you will see that the ones that work, not the dollhouse, and we're talking about working tanurim. So, you know, they've got the little dial and batteries, it lights up and it heats the whole thing. Now, these tanurim that was manufactured by Fisher-Price in those days, they had to work, or otherwise the kids would not consider that to be a decent toy. So the
Easy Bake, they were called Easy Bake.
Easy Bake, exactly. And they actually used to bake cookies in it. As Rashi says, this was like a working Fisher-Price toy for kids.
So sorry, Rebbe, made by Kenner Products.
Okay, give up. Okay, so we've got ourselves a small tanur, which is a tefach, and the Mishnah seems to say that if it's rov, that it'll still be mekabel tumah. Now, how in the world that would be possible is very difficult. And what good is a half of a tefach? That we'll see later on. But meanwhile, here's where we've got a problem. In this Mishnah, you see that the shiorav, and we should remember what shiorav means, the amount that would be left that could still be roy to be mekabel tumah, it says over here, only if shiorav arba'a. But if you're memayedit mi arba'a, aleka shiorav arba'a, even if that would be the rov, it would still be tahor. Masha Inkein, the Mishnah we said before, said you've got to break it into three pieces, and if one of those pieces, therefore, would be the rov, it would be tame no matter what size it is, even if it's less than rov. So how do we square these two Mishnayos? First, you say, to take off the tumah, you have to break it into three pieces. That was a dasa chacham, you have to take off all of the plaster and so on. Why do you need three pieces? Because if it was only two pieces, so then obviously one piece would have the majority. And that's mashma. Even if it's less than four tefachim, because in that same Mishnah, Rebbe Meir says, no, you don't need to do that. It's good enough to get it to be less than four tefachim. And you don't have to take off the plaster. Fine, okay, so then Rebbe Meir apparently holds that the less than four tefachim is enough, but Rabbanon hold that no, You can't. That's not enough. Even if you've got less than four tefachim, you have to make sure none of those pieces are the size of a rov. Masha'inkin, the other Mishnah, which was the first Mishnah in Kelim, it says they have to be a minimum of four tefachim. So there's mamash astira, two Mishnayos in Kelim in the same parak, which doesn't make any sense. Answers the Gemara. It's very simple. We're talking about two totally different cases. Amrei, Hatam, the Mishnah that says it's okay if they're less than four tefachim. And that even if it's a rov, that's talking about that you were tzalkei nitzlak. It means you put a cut through horizontally through the oven. So there, if it's going to be less than four tefachim, it's no longer usable. Because if you're tzalkei, so then that would mean that you don't have an even, you can't cut through like with a diamond saw and to make it an exactly even cut in a tanur shocher. So basically you're going to be getting a really messed up edge. And that means that it doesn't provide a seal, a proper seal, if it's that way. So therefore, it's enough that it's less than four tefachim because you're not going to have enough to, what are you going to do, bury half of it underground? So that is considered to be enough to be mevatel the tuma. Masha Enkein, the Mishnah that says that you cannot have aruba, that's talking about avde gistera. Avde gistera means you go slicing it down, like in, we used the word gistera before, behema, that you make a gistera, it's considered to be a nevela michayin. It's talking about you slice the animal lengthwise, or a human, we were talking about also over there, is betame kemes along the spine. So that means here in this case, of course, it means you cut it vertically from top to bottom. And if you cut it vertically, so then, hinochinami, if that's the four tefachim, that's in terms of the four tefachim that we're talking about. And if the height is not more than four tefachim, it's not going to be functional because you don't have a good bottom to put it up against the ground. Mashenkin, if you do it vertically, then it's still on the ground the way it was originally. There's nothing wrong with it before. The problem is it's got to slice down the middle. And so the question is, okay, so at what point do we consider the split to be a actual bittel of the original oven? So here, rov, of course, would not mean rov of its height like it meant in the other Mishnah. Rov would mean rov of the circumference of it. Naturally, we're talking about completely different ideas. If you're talking about the original one, where you were tzalkei nitzlak, where you cut it horizontally, there we were talking about the height. So these are basically two Mishnayos that are discussing two totally different situations. And now, in that Mishnah, where we said, Omar Mar, in the case where you cut it from top to bottom, that shiorav birubo, and that apparently was referring back to the little oven also, the tefachai oven for kids. That was the Mishnah about the kid oven. Are you trying to tell me that if you got a child's oven, that it's still going to be tamei if it only has half of a tefach, rov of a tefach? What good is that? What possible use? You can't cook anything in that. It's too small. L'may chazi. How in that small oven is it going to work? Omer Abaye, no, of course it doesn't mean that. You're expected to understand that when the Mishnah went back to discussing the shiorav, it was talking again about the shiorav of the gadol. The shiorav of the gadol is berubo. But enochinami, once the small oven is no longer usable, it's less than a tefach, so then it's obviously not going to still be tame. That doesn't make any sense. Now, you're not making any sense either here. Because in the first Mishnah that we quoted, the Rabbanan said that the Shiorav are Arba'a Tvachim. Because remember, the Rabbanan actually said to Rabbi Meir that he said you need to have both Lechatchila and Shiorav. The Shir is Arba'a. What did the Chachamim say? Bamed, Vorem Amurim. Yes, that's true. But only in a large tanur. But if it's a small tanur, not. So in other words, if you're talking about a large tanur, so then the Rabbanan basically are not arguing on Rebbe Meir. They agree that you start with Arba'ah and the Shiorev are Arba'ah because you cannot be more machmir on the Shirayim than you were on the beginning, right? In other words, if it requires four tvachim to be a tanur in the first place, you can't possibly say, well, but if the rove is left, it's still a tanur if it's less than four. I mean, how can what's left be more of a kli to be mekabel tuma than the original that's the full kli? That's absurd. So in that case, obviously the chachamim would say, no, okay, then of course we agree with you. So, okay. So then if this is the case, when we said before that the shiurim of the Godel have to be a minimum of four tvachim, so then how does that actually fit with what we said over here? That because what that means is if it's more than four tvachim, it should be tameh. And here they said, if talking about if it's rove, and if the rove of it is there, it's tamei. I don't understand if that's true. So if you have the shirayim more than four tvachim, even if it isn't rov, what should be the din? Shiur of arba, and it's tamei. And if you have pachas mi arba, then even if it's the rov, it should be tor. So I don't understand how the rabbanon can say both that and also say that it goes according to the rov. If they agree with Rebbe Meir, remember their words, b'meh devarim amurim. Okay, so then they're saying, yeah, we agree with you as long as it's not a child's toy. So then they're contradicting themselves. No, it's no contradiction at all. It depends what you mean by a tanur godo. Lokasha ha betanura bartisha. Where do we say that you are actually have to be a rove? That's talking about where the rove, in fact, is more than four. Because we're talking about a tanur that's nine tvachim high. So if it is a bartisha, so then obviously the four they're saying will not be enough. We're going to be makel. And you need, in that case, you need more than four because you need to have the rov. And when do we say that it has to be four tvachim? That's talking about when the whole tanur is only seven tvachim. So in that case, we're saying, well, just because you have the rov, that's not enough. We hold that you need to have four. So in other words, Rabbanan are makel in both directions in the case of the broken tanur. Now, this was from beginning to end all part of what Rav Huna had originally said about leaving a size of your talit, when you're tearing the talit, leaving a size that would be big enough to create a scarf around your head. So that's what we said in the first Lashon we said yesterday. But today, it turns out that there's a Lashon which Rav Huna said exactly the opposite of what he said yesterday. Lishna achrina amrila. Omer Rav Huna mishum Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Everything is the same. It's the same Rabbi Huna mishum Rabbi Yossi. And it's the same kedema for it, except that here he said exactly the opposite. Here he says, when do we say that the talis is tahar as soon as it's the rove? And I don't care how much is left. Even if there's enough left to be a kedema for it, it won't make any difference, which is exactly the opposite of what he said yesterday. And it was there yesterday that Reish Lakish said, yeah, but if it's talking about a leather jacket, then any small amount would be enough because Oris Cholim. So here, when Rav Huna says the opposite, even if you left a kedema aforet, now Reish Lakish says on that din, the maaforet din, there Reish Lakish said that's true, and that it's tahar, even no matter how much is left. But that's only true about a talit. Masha inken, if it's a leather jacket, or is choshev, and therefore, if there's enough left for a maforet, not if there's any little bit left, like he said yesterday, but if there's enough left for a maforet, you could take that leather jacket, and you have a piece of it that you can use as a head covering or a scarf around your neck, that would be considered to be choshev, and leather would be tameh, even if it's a shear of the maforet, even if it was torn beruba. And here, the machlokas continues as it did yesterday, where Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the difference between leather or anything else? Afilu or lo chashiv, even if there's a kedema foret of a leather jacket, if you tore the rove, it doesn't matter if you've got a piece left that's good enough to put around your head for one of those Siberian hats, it would still be tohar. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Rish Lakish. So, here again, Rish Lakish asks, Rabbi Yochanan asks on Rish Lakish from the Mishnah in Kalin, which we spoke about yesterday. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. If you have a piece of leather that was Tamei Midras, so remember, it needed to be 5 by 5 tefachim to be Tamei Midras, and it's something that was usable as a seat cover, and a zav had sat on it. Chishev alav l'ritzuav esandalim. Once you decided that you're going to make it into belts or make it into sandals, the moment kivan shenatan bo izmel, the moment that you put your skivy knife into it, it's tohar, even if you haven't cut it up. So says Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say, no, it's going to remain tamei until it's smaller than the minimum shiur, which is 5 tefachim by 5 tefachim. Once you cut it below the minimum shiur, ki memayet lamia, it is tohar. But according to Rabbi Rish Lakish, why would it be tohar? Why don't we say that since that size, as long as it would be still enough to put around your neck, it would be choshev, and therefore it should be tamei, even if it's less than chamisha al chamisha. Chamisha tvachim al chamisha tvachim is quite large. So if you're saying that it's tar, you seem to be going against Rish Lakish. I mean, obviously, it's clear that Rish Lakish held is that you don't need 5 tefachim. I mean, if he did, he just would have told Rabbi Yochanan, what are you talking about? Kedei Maforet is larger than that, as Tosus points out. So it's clear that this was a question that was effective against Rish Lakish. But anyway, continuing the sugya, so Hachalamayaskinan, this is a special case. Why is it a special case? Because it's talking about over here that you defined its use. How did you define its use? Because since we've been talking about 5 by 5, that is the shiur that is necessary for Tumas Midras. And that means that we're talking about over here that you wanted this piece of leather to be functional as a moshav for a zav. So once you already defined a usage for a thing, if it's less than the usable size, forget about it. So since the Kaboyle L'moshav Zar, of course it's going to become Tohar. All we said was that if there was no definition and you were just cutting something down and it was left with a shiur Kidei Ma'aforet, it would be considered to be Tomei. But, I mean, obviously that doesn't overrule a predefined use in which you said, I want this for a Moshav Zav. Because remember, the defining element when it comes to Tuma is the Das that's Koveya what you're going to be using it for. But Rish Lakish would say, normally, if you didn't say you need it for a particular purpose, then Eina Chinami Ashir of Kedei Ma'aforet would be enough to make it still roy to maintain the tuma that it had from before. Okay, so that is has been a very long pop-down that started from the sugya earlier. The only reason we were talking about Tanurim in the first place, and certainly child's tanurim, was not in order to get a gift for Ori, so she shouldn't be too upset about her new brother. It was because we had started talking about the Rish Lakish, and we spoke about how things that are strong are going to hold together, and then we asked from that for the case of the tanur that had a plaster on the outside. You got to remember how we've arrived here. So we finished now this sugya about strength of materials, strength of connections, and now we move on to the question of the shiur. So we had started talking about, like, what's the minimum shiur necessary for something to be a shomer or for something to be a yad? And you will recall that we had a machlokas over there, whether maybe yesh yad lepachot mikazayin, and yesh shomer lepachot mikapul, or it's necessarily, it has to be a kazayin, it has to be a pul. But we had talked about the machlokas And we actually learned the main point of the Mishnah coming up, which was the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, as to whether or would be mavato pochus mikizayas. You remember the whole discussion that we had, the difference between an animal biting it, if it was bitten by the doggy who bit off a piece, or whether the person actually cut it that way. The machlokas that we had about how to understand Rabbi Yishmael. Let's review some of that as we review the Mishnah, because we already learned it before we got to this Mishnah in the first place, and switch one moment our network connection to our central Richie. But first, a word from our sponsor.
There we go. Sorry. Next time,
These are the early, you've got to remember, these are the very early days of television. We interrupt this program because of network difficulties. Okay, we're back now, once again, with our very own Sir Richard. Lovely. They never did better even on Howdy Doody, Richie.
Brought to you by Easy Bake Oven.
That's good. That's good. This is such a great peanut gallery out there.
Pay no attention to the peanut gallery. Okay. So our Mishnah, again, I pointed out, we've read this Mishnah before in the Gemara, but Or Sheyesh Alav Kizayas Basar. So now you've got a piece of skin. It does have a kizayas that's attached on the back. And if someone touches a tziv hayotzei mimenu, so if there's like a small, tiny sliver of meat that is sticking out from that meat, it's touching it, but it's actually not, nobody would look at it as part of the piece. I mean, they would just cut it off. They're actually going to eat it. So anogea b'tziva yotzei mimenu, if you touch that little tiny bit of meat that's hanging down, or if you touch a sa'ara, which is on the other side of the skin. And remember, we learned that asara is actually chuchule mechalchal. It goes all the way down, and it comes out above the actual skin, and therefore it's considered to be a shomer. So in either case, even though it's attached to the or, since it's an entire kizayas, it is still going to be metame tumas nevelas, and it would be basically even a tiny piece would be a yad, and the hair would be a shomer, like we learned before. Now, how about if you don't have a whole kizayit b'makom echad? So this was the machlokas that we went into at length, that if you have shnei chatzei zeitim, then the only way that you could be mitameh from a nevela is if you carry it. And remember that an avela is metame bimasa. And therefore, if you pick it up with the skin, you're holding both chatzoi zesim at one time. And both chatzoi zesim equals the shear that's metame tumati araisa of nevela. And therefore, tainis Rabbi Yishmael, it would still be metame. And the fact that it's attached to the skin, where the fact that it was cut off from the skin, that was the machlokas we had before. Is this only where a doggy bit it? Is it where you actually cut it off? And maybe in that case, you're mevatalet. We're not going to get into that here. We just hear the raw svara of Rabbi Yishmael being attached to skin as less than a kizayit still does not deprive it of the din of tumas nevelas once there is a kizayit. So memela, if you carry it, there's enough to be metame tumas nevelas, and it would be metame. Rabbi Akiva says, no, there's no tuma here whatsoever. Lo b'maga, lo b'masa, and as we explain at the end, the reason Rabbi Akiva says that is very simple. Give me any other argument you want. There still has to be a piece of meat there, doesn't there? Well, there's no piece of meat there because it was bottled to the skin. And that was what we were saying, was the Chiddush of Yochanan, according to Rabbi Akiva, that the or per se is always mevata. Now, Rabbi Akiva is moda, that this is entirely a function of the skin being mevata, the meat. If the meat is not up against the skin, he has no objection to the fact that if you carry two chatzoizesim at the same time, that you will become tummy. That's not what he's arguing about. He's only arguing about the skin being mavatal. So Moda Rabbi Akiva, if you have shnei chatzoizesim on either side of a toothpick, and then you pick up the toothpick, well, of course, you would be tame. I'm not arguing with Rabbi Shmuel about the fact that you can combine two pieces for carrying. I was only arguing about whether the two pieces exist. So what I was saying is that since they're up against a piece of skin, therefore they're no longer called meat. And as the Mishnah speaks out, so why does Rabbi Akiva say it's different if they're still attached to the skin? That's because the skin actively is mevatel them. But if there's still pieces of meat, it's not the fact that they're less than a kezias that makes them batel. And there, if they're attached to either piece of a stick, then if you move the stick, you will actually become tame binevela because of masa. Okay. Now, this is not necessarily, and we saw this earlier, this is not necessarily the case in all situations. Omar Ula Omar Rabbi Yochanan, the only time that we say this din, that it's actually going to be remaining with its shear, even though it's pachas, is Adavka Lo Shana La Palatato Chayad. It's only where a doggy bit it. So there was no active human participation in taking it off of the piece of meat. But if actually somebody had cut it this way, so then it is bata, and it is certainly not going to be mitame because the person had in mind, in his careless use of his knife, he had in mind that he doesn't care about it, and therefore it would be batel. Now, we took this to mean, I don't give a hang how big this is. So now he's talking about the beginning of the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah was if it was a kizayit. And Rabbi Yochanan was saying, even if it's a kizayit, I don't care. But if it was the person, I mean, a kizayit is the shear. Once you're telling me this is the din of a kizayit, you're not giving me any shear. You're saying no matter what, if a guy cut it, so then it's batel to the or. And nobody would argue on that. I don't get it. Omar le'Rav Nachman le'ula. Rabbi Yochanan said that, you quoted Rabbi Yochanan, that even if it's a kizayit. Now, would Rabbi Yochanan have said the same thing, even if it's a katarta? So a katarta is a large piece. It could be a rova kav, Rashi says, or it could be just the word for the plate that's in a scale. But the point is, it's a large piece. And there's no difference, lahalacha, between the size of a katarta and the size of a kezayit. So, I mean, if you're telling me what's important over here is the fact that a guy took a knife and cut it off, and that makes it batel. I mean, what if a guy cut off a really serious piece of meat that could have been a roast for Shabbos? I mean, you're telling me that it was mevatel it? Ula said, yes, I'm sure Rabbi Yochanan did not put any limits to it. He said, even if it's larger than a kezayit, yes. And what are you telling me, said Rabbi Nachman? What if it's the same size as a nafya? Does it sieve? Absolutely. He didn't say any shears, said Ula. So Rabbi Nachman said, listen, I swear to God, if Rabbi Yochanan had said this to me with his own mouth, I wouldn't have listened to a word he said. It's ridiculous. I certainly don't believe you. I would not have believed Rabbi Yochanan. You cannot be saying nonsense that contradicts all of the dinim that we know all over the Torah and tell me I'm supposed to believe you. So Rav Hoshaya, he went to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, and he meets up with Rav Ami, and he tells Rav Ami this conversation. So he says over that Rav Nachman said to him, I swear I wouldn't have listened to him even if he said it to me. So Rav Ami said, you know, so he said the whole thing to him. This is what Ula said, and this is what Rav Nachman asked him, and then Ula said he wouldn't listen to him. So actually, Rabbi Ami was horrified by that. So here are these chutzpah nyak bavel people, and they have the chutzpah to say they wouldn't listen to Rabbi Yochanan. They're crazy people. apparently Rav Nachman has gotten too big for his britches, says Rav Ami. It must be because he married into the Chatis, the son-in-law of the Nasi. And, you know, this is like a Barron Trump idea. Once you're the son-in-law of the Nasi, you'd think you're hot stuff. So therefore, he comes along and he says, I'm not going to listen to her. This is outrageous. Just because he's Chatni de Venecia, he's mezalzo on what Rabbi Yochanan said? I never heard of such a thing. Anyway, there was another time that Rav Hoshaya finds the same Rav Ami, and Rav Ami is saying it over, not on the Reisha that was a Kezias, but that what Rabbi Yochanan said was on the Seifa. And he said, he never said that if a guy cuts off a whole Kezias, which would mean that there's no limit. He said if it's a Chatzi Zayin. So, Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. And there Rabbi Yochanan said, where is this machlokas dafka where the doggy bit him and took off that tefazayat piece of meat? That's why Rabbi Yishmael says that it's still chashav. But if the person, the human who was skinning the animal did it, palatito sakina would be batel. In which case he was only talking about a case of a chatzis zayin. So Rav Hoshaya said, what? Did you just say this over that Rabbi Yochanan said it on the Seifa? Well, that changes everything. Rav Ami looks at him and says, well, obviously. Are you trying to tell me that Ula, the whole story you told me about Ula and Rav Nachman, that he had said it over on the Reisha? And that he was talking about a Zayit, and therefore it wouldn't matter what year? He said, yeah, that's how he said it over. Oh my God, said Rav Ami. I swear if Yoshua ben Nun told me I look like that, I would never listen to him. So apparently it was not because Rav Nachman was Chatne de Venecia, but because you cannot contradict something that you know, b'misera, this is the way that we understand halacha. You can't, even if it's Yoshua ben Nun, he can't tell you to go against the way that the Torah Shabbat has been given over. So that's mamish the point. Some say that when it says Yoshua ben Nun, here the girsa should be mipume, just like it was mipume in the case of Rabbi Yochanan. The girsa that says mishmei is mashma that even if Yoshua ben Nun had said this over in the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, I wouldn't believe it. So, okay, so there's some who changed the girsa to Mipume with his own name. So, obviously, of course, the way Ula said it over was not so. But actually, when Ravin and the other people who had moved to Lakewood, when they actually came to Bavel, the way that they said it was the way that we originally understood it, and that he was saying it the way Ula said it, that it's the Kezayit, the full Kezayit, which of course horrifies Trevor, and he doesn't understand how they could possibly go back to that. Ve'el Akasha. So then how are you going to explain it now? Answers the Gemara, no, there is a way out of the insanity. We're going to see that Rav Papa says later, in order to understand the Mishnah about the chibur of the two pieces of the Zesim, that it was talking about Merudad. So remember what Merudad means, if you recall, as Rashi points out, the way that the gold foil was made for the Mishkan, in which they had to make threads from gold foil. So what did they do? They were Merudad, which is why aluminum foil today is Merudad. And that is the skin over here is Merudad. It was very, very thin, had been under a lot of pressure, so it can very difficult for it to actually be useful. We'll see the real meaning of that merudad when we get to Rav Papa, in the case of the Shnei Chatzoi Zesim. So here, too, what Rav Yochanan was referring to was where the meat, the entire kezayit, was merudad. And since it's pressed down so thin, that in order to do anything with it, I mean, it's almost useless. That's why it would be batel, since that's the way that he cut it. Now, we learned in the Mishnah And in the case that there were Shnei Chatzoi Zeitim, Rabbi Yishmael says you can be mitamei, but only if you carry it. There's no way for you to be mitamei from the nevela by touching it. Now we have a very important caveat about this whole piece, and it changes everything. And that is Bar Pada's halacha. Bar Pada said that the only time that Rabbi Yishmael would have said that, namely, you cannot be mekabel tuma with touching it, but you can be mekabel tuma by carrying it. The only time that we say you cannot be mekabel tuma is if you touch it by the other side of the skin. So there's no way that you can be mekabel tuma b'maga from two separated pieces. But if you touch those two pieces simultaneously from their front, milafanav, you're facing them, in other words, you're facing the meat, and you're directly in touch with the two chatzoi zeitim. Now, this is, I know it's difficult under these circumstances to expect our Gavi to write anything, but remember, we don't expect anything of Gavi any longer. The entire thing is done by the magic pen. And therefore, all he needs to do is to turn on the magic pen and to make sure that we write down Yesh Nogea V'Chozer V'Nogea, or, of course, Ein. So that would be in brackets, Yesh or Ein. Okay. Can you combine a touch of two Chatzi Shiurim simultaneously in order to make it a Shiur for Maga? We saw that when it came to Masa, that is okay, and that since you're picking it up all at one time by picking up this one piece of skin, you're doing one act of Masa. But if you're touching, then you're touching two separate things. And for all intents and purposes, it would be, let's touch this and then touch that. Now, it doesn't mean and then, it means simultaneously, but we're calling it Nogea V'Chozer V'Nogea because we need to combine two separate acts. And therefore, whatever the local time is in your vision is irrelevant. For all intents and purposes, we're putting together two separate negiyas. Can you do that? And we specifically say it this way because we're not putting time into an equation as if it is actually objective. So yesh nogea v'chozer v'nogea or not. So he claims that Rabbi Yishmael, Bar Pada claims that Rabbi Yishmael would be moda, that there is a way to be mekabel tumas nevela b'maga if you touch simultaneously two pieces at the same time, one finger on one finger on the other, and the same way that the piece of skin will combine the carrying as if it's one, so too will the touching simultaneously combine the two chatzoi zeitim as if they're one because of this new klal of yesh nogea v'chozer b'nogea. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and he holds you can never be mekabel tumas maga as a two-step process. And therefore, if you've got one finger on one and one finger on the other, you will not be mekabel tumas maga. And you can still, however, what Rabbi Shmuel is saying is, you can still be mekabel tumas masa by lifting up the skin. Okay, now, this is essentially what Rabbi Shmuel is understood to mean, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is very consistent with what Rabbi Yochanan holds about Rabbi Yishmael in a whole different discussion. And that is that if, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yishmael would say that you are tohar if you touch them simultaneously, but if you combine them through the piece of skin, you'll be tameh through masa, listen to something else that Rabbi Yochanan said, and you will see how consistent he is in his approach of understanding Rabbi Yishmael. So this is Ozda Rabbi Yochanan Lataime. Rabbi Yochanan here is consistent, because Rabbi Yochanan also once commented that if you consider Rabbi Yishmael, and you consider Reb Dosa ben Hurkanis, they're basically saying the same thing. What was he referring to? Well, the Rabbi Yishmael is referring to what we just said in our Mishnah. Reb Dosa ben Horkanis is also a Mishnah that we had in Ohalot, and he says over there, Kol hamitamim ba'ohel shenechleku. If you have less than a shear, so let's say you have a chatzi kezayis basar of a mate, that would be betame only if it were a full kezayit. And there was one chatzi zayit that was brought into a house, and another chatzi zayit that was brought into the same house, and the bayit is ma'ahil over them, kol hamitamim ba'ohel shenechleku into two pieces, and then you bring them into the same house, Rabbi Dosa ben Urkanis says that's tahor, because you cannot combine two ohels. An ohel essentially is the equivalent of maga. It's as if the whole house is full of this thing and is touching you. So what Rabbi Dosa ben Urkanis is saying is that you cannot combine just because the house is touching both of these pieces. It's not a shear. Whereas the Chachomim say, since in toto you have a kezayit bin amet, so therefore it is tamei. So how is that the same? Well, think about it. Isn't Reb Dosa ben Horkanis essentially saying over there that you cannot put something over one half a zayit and then have it also being going over another half a zayit and making that tamei? Does that make sense? He says, no. So that's exactly what Rabbi Yishmael is saying here. Ochanami, there's no nogea v'chozer v'nogea. So that means that the way that Rabbi Yochanan understood Rabbi Yishmael in the Mishnah is exactly what he understands when he compares Rabbi Yishmael to Reb Dosa ben Horkanis, because that's essentially what Reb Dosa ben Horkanis is talking about. It's the same idea. So even, now there's a little bit of a problem, but we will see that it's easy to handle that problem. And the little bit of a problem turns out to be the fact that Rabbi Dosa in that same Mishnah ends up saying that if you're carrying two chatzoy zesim at the same time, it's not mitzuref. So how can Rabbi Yochanan claim that Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanis agrees with Rabbi Yishmael if he beferish argues in the same Mishnah with Rabbi Yishmael? It sounds outrageous. However, as we will see, it is not outrageous, and we actually will have a very good explanation for it. But in order to get to that explanation, we need to first get to the end of our understanding of how Rabbi Yochanan understands Rabbi Yishmael.
And that needs a drink.
Thank you. Now, the point is that way we understand Rabbi Yochanan is that he is claiming that the machlokas between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachomim as to whether an oil is mitzaref to chatzoi zesim of pochas b'kezayis of a mate is identical to the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva about whether you could actually be mitzaref these two pieces. That's what we assume. So if that's what we understand Rabbi Yochanan to be saying, so if Reb Dosa ben Horkanis actually is following the halacha like Rabbi Shmuel, and he holds it's not mitzarev, then he's implying that the Rabbanan who argue with Reb Dosa ben Horkanis, and they say you can be mitzarev in the oyel, the shnei chatzoi zeisim, they must be going like Rabbi Akiva. But what's the matter with you? How could they be going like Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva says it's completely tahor. So how can you say that over here, it's like the Chachamim, it's the exact opposite of the Chachamim? How can Rabbi Yochanan say that? No, you're forgetting. You keep making this mistake. Rabbi Akiva only said that it's meat on skin, that the meat is bottled to the skin. He never said that Pachas B'Kezayit can't be combined. On the contrary, Rabbi Akiva said if you have a toothpick, with a chatzi zayit and another chatzi zayit, it could be combined. It's only a din in the or being mevatel. So what's your problem? Ad kan lo kamitaher Rabbi Akiva ela ba'or. Avo ba'alma. We like the case we had. Is, of course, he says so beferish in our Mishnah. Of course it would be tamei. It says so. Why are you getting so confused? Kidiktani seifa. Moda Rabbi Akiva b'shnei chatzai zeitim, that you put together on opposite sides of a toothpick, and you put it on a kisim, and you move them, it would be metame. Why then did he say that if they're stuck together with a piece of skin? That's because mipnei sha'or mevatlan, as we've explained a million times. So generally, I made that, of course, you can be mitzarif to chatzoi zesim as long as you figure out a way to simultaneously carry them. However, it doesn't apply to this case because there are no two chatzoi zesim. Since they're both attached to a piece of skin, the skin is mevatel them. Now, problem over here is that Bar Pada claimed that according to Rabbi Yishmo, if you have nogea v'chozer v'nogea, that the din is that it would actually be tamei tumas maga. So remember, this sugya is becoming complex. We talked about the maga issue from the side of the skin. We talked about the masa issue, picking it up by the skin. We talked about the shomer. We talked about the yad. And then Bar Pada introduced a new idea that you could even have maga in this case if you hold that yesh nogea v'chozer v'nogea. These are very fundamental concepts, and they're going to follow us all around Shas, so don't get confused. We've got, however, a problem, and that problem is a braita that is Doresh, the Pasuk of Hanogea Benivlata, and it seems to contradict Bar Pada. Masiv Rev Ukva Bar Chava, the braita says Benivlata, and we darshaned you have to touch the actual nevela, but not touching a piece of skin, v'lo ba'or shiyesh alav shnei chatza ezeitim. So if those shnei chatza ezeitim were of a nevela, a person who touched them by touching the skin would not be mekabel tuma. You might think that he even would not be mekabel tuma if he carries them, and a nevela is tamei b'masa. For that, Talmud Lomar, that's why the Pusik says, but hanoseyet nivlatam, yechabez pegadav vitamei ad ha'arev. So therefore, there is a separate tuma. This is Rabbi Shmuel Shita, that is, it's metame only b'masa. Rabbi Akiva says, now here is where we get into our problems. Rabbi Akiva says, look, this pasuk actually puts together two different dinim. It says that there's a tuma of nogeya, and it says that there's a tuma of nosei, hanosei yitma. So, if there is also a tuma of maga and a tuma of nosei, then the Torah is comparing them. And that next pasuk, after Vanoseet Nivlatam, Yechabes Begadav Etamei, we also are told that Kol Anosei Minivlatam Yechabes Begadav Etamei Ad Ha'arev, and of course, we have the pasuk of right before Hanogeb Nivlatam. Now that means that the Torah is basically comparing a hekesh of Nogea to Nosei. And what does that teach us? It teaches us that only something that you could be tamei by touching can make you tamei if you carry it. But if there's no theoretical way for you to become tamei by touching, then you cannot be tamei by carrying it. So lo ba lechlal maga, lo ba lechlal masa. Now, This doesn't interest me here at all because, according to me, there's no meat here at all, you understand? Because I hold that the or is mevatala. But what I'm pointing out, says Rabbi Akiva, is that Rabbi Yishmael doesn't make one bit of sense. Because since he seems to be meida that there cannot be a tumas maga, how the heck does he say, if you carry it, you will become tamei b'masa? If there's another problem, which I don't have, because I say the chatzoi zesim are each bottle to the skin, but I am pointing out that Rabbi Yishmael is up the creek without a paddle. He is claiming that even though if you touch it, you're not going to become tummy, but if you carry it, you will become tummy. And Alon wants to show us the doggy that bit off that kizayit. As you can see, he's quite capable of biting off a heck of a lot more than a kizayit. Yes, indeed. Oh, my gosh. You do not want to be bit by that doggy. So we've got an actual, look at that, Barnea. I dare you to show and tell that, huh? This beats every Barnea show and tell we've had so far.
I'm careful not to bite more than I can chew.
Very smart. So the problem with this whole taina of Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Yishmael is Bar Pada. If Bar Pada says that even according to Rabbi Yishmael, you would be tamei if you touch the meat from the side of the skin of the meat, because yesh nogea v'chozer v'nogea, then Rabbi Akiva is speaking about something that's totally irrelevant. What do you mean? Rabbi Yishmael makes no sense. You cannot be tamei b'maga. How could you be tamei b'masa? Excuse me? You can be mitamei b'maga. Bar Pada just explained to you how you can be mitamei b'maga. V'imi'ita, if Bar Pada is correct that Rabbi Yishmael would hold that yesh nogea v'chozer v'nogea, so then it is balechlal maga. As long as you touch it from the right side, it is balechlal maga. Well, I would say that I trust Rabbi Akiva's understanding of Rabbi Yishmael more than Bar Pada, okay? So if Rabbi Akiva is telling me that this seems to be a fatal flaw in Rabbi Yishmael, he obviously is telling me that Bar Pada is not true. And Rabbi Yishmael would never say that you could be makabel tuma by touching it from the side of the meat. Omar Rava, no. Rabbi Akiva may agree with Bar Pada, and it's not necessarily such a big problem that you're making it. What Rabbi Akiva was saying was that the rule of the Maga Masa is that you have to be able to be mitame from all sides. But if you're only going to be mekabel tuma on one side, then that is not considered to be the equivalent of the hanogea yitma. And therefore, Taina's Rabbi Akiva, it will not count to explain how in the world, according to Rabbi Yishmael, you would be able to be makabel tumas masa from something that has lo no, it has to be b'chol tzad. Because remember, this sounds crazy, but it isn't crazy. Because remember that the pasuk that we're talking about was the pasuk of the or shekineged habasar. That was the extra word yitma instead of tameh. That's how the whole discussion started before on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. So what we said over there was, Yochal afilu yesh alav kizayit anugea bo'or shekineged habasar me'achorav lo yehi tameh, Talmud omar yitma. So that pasuk itself that compares the two, we're talking about negia from the other side. So it's not so crazy to say, therefore, what we mean when we say it, shebalach lal maga, balach lal masa, means balach lal maga, even from the other side, you see? And therefore, this makes a lot of sense. So Rabbi Akiva would still hold that this is a big problem for Rabbi Yishmael, even if Bar Pada was right. So you cannot show Bar Pada to be wrong. Okay, so now Rav Avya Saba asked Rabba Bar Avuna, what would be Rabbi Yishmael's halacha if you have a kulit situma? So remember, kulit is a thigh bone. It has a lot of marrow in it. And it is, in this case, completely sealed. It doesn't have any break in it. Is there any way to touch that marrow directly? No. Whatever you would, you can't even stick in a needle into that bone. So there's no way that something can make the tuma of the marrow to make something tuma through maga. Would that, according to Rabbi Yishmael, be still metame you if you would be carrying it? What I'm asking, essentially, to you, says Rav Avya to Rabba Bar Avuna, does Rabbi Yishmael agree that only at shebalach lal maga, balach lal masa, but lo balach lal maga, lo balach lal masa? And since over here there's no way to touch it, Then, therefore, since it would be untouchable, it wouldn't be mitami in any way. And why does Rabbi Shmuel say in our Mishnah that it is considered to be mitame b'masa? That's because he basically agrees to Bar Pada that it would be tame from the other side, meaning from the side of the meat. Or maybe Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold that you are able to be b'lechol maga, b'lechol masa. He never agreed to that idea in the first place. And because of that, even if the kulit was stuma, it would be the same as the Mishnah. You will not be metame b'maga, and you will be metame b'masa. Rabbi Barav Huna, instead of answering the question, points up to the sky and said, look at the pretty. Look at that pretty. Oh, my gosh. So he says, ooh, urma parach. Look at that. So, okay. Well, Rav Avia Saba got the idea that he's not wanted here, so he leaves. And Rava, who is the son of Rabba Bar Avuna, says to him, Abba, wasn't that Rav Avia Saba Mipumpadisa, who was one of the Gedele Hador? And you told me that this man is Mamish Agudal Hador, Mishabeach Lanmar, Begave de Gavar Rabahu, and this is how you treat him? You tell him, look at the birdie? What the heck's going on? So he says to his son, listen here, my boy. Do you realize that I just finished giving a 3-hour drosha for the Kala? This was the time of the Kala drushas, to hundreds of people at the top of my lungs. Do you realize that I'm no longer a youngster? I am today, if you want to be nice to me, samechuni ba'ashishot. What you should be doing is bringing me back to life by bringing lots of nice wine, barbecues. That's what you should be doing. This guy comes along and he asks me, I mean, this is a heck of a complicated question that he asked me. My brain can't handle a question like that. Look at the little birdie. I'm giving you the message, man. How am I supposed to think about that today? Boy, I mean, I milked it by time. He's asking me to say something intelligent. I got a half a brain left. Get out of here. Okay, that's a great story. So anyway, I want to get up to the mission. I realize it's a little late, but let's see if we could just get through this next piece to get up to the mission. Okay, so Omar Ula, there's another issue over here that we've spoken about. And I said that if you took two chatzoy zeisim and you put them on this toothpick, I say you can move it around all day long. You're never going to become tamei. And what we said before, obviously I know that, and you're going to ask me about it, and then I'll explain it. But I say you will not be tamei b'masa if you move it around all day. Why? Because if you take a look at the pasuk, hanoseyet nivlata yechabes b'gadav tamei ad ha'aretz, it has no vav in the word v'hanosei. And therefore, it can be read as anisa. That which is carried, that means that the item itself can be carried, not through something else. So it's written Nisa, we read it Nose, and that teaches that only something which can be carried as one item, that is what's Matame B'masa. And this is fundamentally not the case over here because it's split into two. What? And what about a Mishnah? Oh, you love Shnei Chatzai Zeitim. Didn't we just learn in the Mishnah that a toothpick with two chatzoy zeisim or metamim b'masa velo b'maga? So what are we giving? What are you giving me here? Yet another idea that things that cannot be touched, held all at one time directly are not even metamim b'masa? I mean, that was like a given. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, how could he have said that? It's not nisa, is it? And here is where Rav Papa had given his answer before about mirudad. It's true that there are two chatzoy zeisim. However, they are actually connected by a completely crushed and condensed piece of meat that is so thin that it connects these two pieces. However, if you pick up the big piece, you are actually going to be able to lift up the little piece. If you picked up the little piece, you won't be able, it'll split before it picks up the big piece. So therefore, it's not really one piece. However, There's enough to carry it as one if you pick up the big piece. So therefore, it's considered to be Nisa. And that's what we've been talking about all along. And I'll prove it to you. Because the Mishnah says, Mora Rabbi Akiva b'shnecha tzoyzesim, shetachvan b'kisam v'yisitam shuhutameh. And we know that the Pasuk disagrees with that because it says a nosei has to be Nisa. So am I, halav Nisahu. So that's the point. The Mishnah is talking about Mirudad. And the truth is, this Shita of Ula was introduced, this new idea of Nosei Nisa, besides the question of whether Kol HaBali De Maga, Bali De Masa, is actually a Machlokas Tanoim. Because in a Braita it says, it doesn't matter whether you're Nogeya, it doesn't matter whether you're Mesit, basically you are going to be Tomei in this case of moving the Nevela. Whereas Rabbi Lozer says, even somebody who is Nosei, well, what is that supposed to mean? What do you mean, even somebody who's Nosei? Somebody who's Nosei is by definition Mesit. I mean, you pick it up, so you're moving it. That's the point, isn't it? What he must have meant to say was, El alav achikamar. It doesn't matter to me whether you're no gea or whether you are mesit, even if it's not nisa, and it can't be picked up together. So Rabbi Eliezer is trying to tell me that actually, no, who did nisa? I disagree with what you said. It's only if it fits the rule in the pasuk of nisa. Now, come on, how can that be the way to understand it? Then why does Rabbi Eliezer says, even if you're Nisa? He's coming, what do you mean, even if you're Nisa? Sorry, it's the wrong language. Change that to the who, when is that so? Only if it's Nisa. So that would mean, Zemachlokis, Rabbi Eliezer, and the Tadakama, as to whether this drasha of Nosei and Nisa is correct. We don't have enough time for me to review all of the amazing things we've learned today, so Bezrat Hashem, we'll start tomorrow with a quick review. Okay, Rabosai, as I say, it's been tons of fun, at least for me, and I hope it's been tons of fun. Look, I mean, we've got Trevor fully engaged today, and obviously, it's tons of fun. So, and that was even while he was under threat by Jack the dog. He risked his life to go out there and to hear this stuff, Yomi. So let's hear it for Trevor. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Kol Tov.